Gemma. So this is just a little story of Somnath Temple, because recently it has been constructed by the Honorable Prime Minister of India, and there's something very beautiful. So, but Somnath is a very interesting story about it, and we can connect it with things that are happening. So, maybe many of us know, many of us may not know, that the story goes that Daksha Prajapati, he is the Prajapati, so he is supposed to, he is given the governance or maintenance. He is one of the managers of the world. So he has to manage things. So he has to decide what will be where and what will be where. So Moon is one of his, Moon is one of his Damad. What is Damad called? Son-in-law. Okay, son-in-law, and Moon has 28 wives. But he is very partial to one of the wives, which is Rohini. And because of his partiality, all other wives complain. Among them, Daksh daughters also. And so Daksh gets very angry and he curses the moon. He says, you have been quietly, clandestinely having an extra affair with Rohini. You are supposed to give equal time to everybody. But you have been partial. Now you see, it's very interesting. If you look at the Draupadi story also, it's not about her having five husbands. The reason why her mortal sheath falls, apparently, is because she was partial to Arjuna. Very strange. So Moon also gets cursed not for having 28 wives, but for being partial towards Rohini. So he says, your kanti, your power will go down. So Moon begins to wane. Moon god. Huh? So he says, doesn't know what to do. So he goes to Shiva. Shiva only can help in such challenging situations. So Shiva says, okay, I will hold you on my head. And so what will happen with that? He says, but the sharp curse of Daksh cannot be completely annulled. But you will wane, and after some time, when you are about to be finished, you are about to die, you will come up again. So this is the waxing and waning of the moon. The story is very clearly symbolic, because you have 28 days lunar cycle, and Rohini is the all constellations, out of which Rohini is one of the constellations where, because of the elliptical course, moon passes by more often. I mean, it is so clear, and it's an evidence that what kind of astronomy was developed at that point of time. So the story is very clear about that. And the waxing and waning of the moon. Moon is the spiritual mind. So now you can see the story at many levels. Shiva holding the moon is that all change, even to the point of destruction, near destruction and coming up, is held on a stable basis. So there is the change and there is the stable basis, the anchor, the Brahman, the Shivatva. Here in this context is Shiva, because the story is in Shiva Purana. If it was Vishnu Purana, it might have been transferred to Lord Vishnu. But basically, there is this power which is not subject to change, and it is that which holds the mutations of time. So the movements of time are decided by the cosmic forces, but it is anchored deeply in the presence of the stable basis, which is the divine himself. This is the first thing in the story. Where does Somnath temple come? That's the temple where he prayed to Shiva, and Shiva came, blessed him, took him on his head, and also blessed the Somnath with his own presence. So it is the first Jyotirling of all the Jyotirling. The numbers, some people would say 12, some people would say 13, depending on how you count. So he is the first Jyotirling. So this Somnath temple has lived to its reputation. It has been looted and rebuilt number of times. It's not only once. Strange. Partly it's a coastal town. But the most ferocious was, of course, Ghazni, who was the man of the Turkish descent. Very interestingly, he was... You see, it's all symbolic. We are reading in Bhagavat about the Shudra who becomes the king, which is the sign of Shudra, not to be seen in a pejorative sense, but Shudra in the sense of the person who is vision is completely clamped down to the physical consciousness. He cannot see anything deeper or higher. So Shudra becomes the king. He was a slave boy. His father was a slave boy in the Turkish Empire. Who? Ghazni's father. And he overthrew, he arranged a revolt, and then he built into a mighty empire. His mentality was basically still a slave mentality. And then he came all the way, 17 times invaded India, number of times looted, plundered, and it was renovated. Even his final loot, the 17th one, again it was renovated by the king that time. I think it was Bhima I who tried to defend, and ultimately he did. I mean, the other was the Parmars, the Chalukyas, all of them, restored the temple. So it's not like temple was lying in ruins till now. So temple was restored several times. Now, that time when he has invaded, that's very sad but interesting story. So he invaded, and this time he looted plenty of so much gold idols. And there is a background to the story where people come and tell him, you don't know what lies in the down below. You have not seen that. We have only looted only outwardly. You have to go open the vaults, and vaults for that you have to destroy the shrine. So as the story goes, he broke the shrine, the Shivling, into countless pieces. And he put all these soldiers, put them all on the floor for the soldiers to trample over it. Could this happen without the divine will? I look at it like this. There the divine, the Shiva withdrew his energies from there. That's how it happens. When India goes down, it's because the divine withdraws his energy. You must understand the divine play. Why? Because after that, of course, the Islamic invaders had started coming about 200 years before that, somewhere around 750 BC or maybe 800 BC, 750 BC. This is an event of 1000 BC. Then comes, of course, after that, one after another. So the Mughal rule, the Muslim rule, not Mughal rule, Mughal rule comes still later. So all this started. Why was it allowed? What do the Muslims represent? And this I have discussed earlier also. Paradoxically, they represent the force aspect of the divine. But force without knowledge and force without love. What is that force? It's Rudra. You see, when Rudra destroys, he doesn't reckon anything. So it was the Rudra energy which came. Why it came? Because Rudra actually challenges you. He doesn't accept any weakness. You can't face Rudra with a weak chicken heart. So there was a fierce destruction. When Rudra comes, you have to... Actually, you can't face. If you go by the stories, nobody has ever faced Rudra. Even Vishnu Bhagwan, he cannot face him. He says, I can't. So because a force of destruction flowing from Shiva. So why would Shiva engage in destroying all this? Because there was a world which had gone into its own inertia. Kings were nice, they had so much wealth. Just imagine at one point, very impartially look at it. They were gold idols, they were diamonds, there was so much gold. Why was it like there? With the king and the priestess custodian. It could have been used for so much more good. I mean, in all fairness, it's not the way that ideal king, you look at Lord Rama's time, you look at some of these kings, Rama's Vansh, Purvaj, Raja Harishchandra, Sivi, they gave their wealth from the coffers to the last penny. You don't store gold and things like that in the name of God and do this. So there was some great weakness, fault line, which invited, and Shobindu uses the word, like locusts they came. And then to throw them out, as we were saying, nature works in its own way, the Englishman came. Highly calculating, cunning, businessman, cold, professional. That's why both Mother and Shobindu had a feeling for France, because they have at least a heart and idealism. Englishman is cold, absolutely business, calculating. So they came and they found their way and threw away, which is very beautifully documented in Anandamath, where at the end they say, but we thought we were fighting the Muslims, and just when they are about to go, what is it? We see the Englishman with his trumpet and the tanks coming in. So what is happening? So their master says that, well, this is decreed by God. So if you see it from that point of view, you will, it is, now again see the restoration and fall of, so just as the change, so destruction of Somnath temple marked a change that now whatever period of time, Indian civilization will be plunged into darkness. It was an indication, it was an Amavasya if you look at it. Continued for nearly 1,000 years. But that's how civilizations grow like that. 1,000 years is like batting of the eye, not even batting of the eye of Brahma. Now the restoration of the temple, and from all the indications, now is the period when the glory of the moon will rise. Moon, incidentally, is also the sign of spiritual mind, of delight, of existence, soma. So now is this restoration coming at this hour, along with the rise of, India, which is needed so much again for the world, because India is the custodian of the spiritual wealth. How much we are aware of that or not, I don't know, because Sri Aurobindo, at several times he reminds us that it is Sri Krishna's Bharat that must be awakened. It's not simply all sadhu sannyasis are okay, that's fine. But it's so important to emphasize the need for Sri Krishna's Bharat. And with all regard for Shankaracharya, it is not Shankaracharya's Bharat and Gandhi's Bharat, that, because then we'll commit the same mistake. So Sri Krishna's Bharat that must be awakened. So that's what we see happening. So restoration is part of that. What happened to Ghazni? Well, Ghazni was very badly hit. He came with 50,000 soldiers. 30,000 died in the Thar desert. There was so much heat, so much heat. They lost direction. They fell prey to the arrows of Jats, small hamlets nearby. Much of the loot was also taken away, looted back and sort of distributed. 30,000 people died crossing the desert because there was unexpected heat. And that it came to such an extent that at one point he says, let us leave whatever we can leave here and carry only what we can carry. So actually what he ultimately carried, so we can imagine how much they must have looted. They left already a lot. They couldn't loot the whole thing. And then of the loot, much was, or a lot was of course looted by the local Jats and others, kings, and while they were crossing, they left behind some. Finally, they took, still that was quite a lot. And he tried to build the empire, but it is documented that from that point onwards, this rising empire's back was broken. After that, he became a very feeble king. Otherwise, Alauddin Khilji has also looted Somnath temple. So there have been several times loot and restoration. And I look at it as a symbol of resurrection of India. Many signs are coming up. One of them is the restoration of Somnath. It is a temple which is there to tell us symbolically that the cycles of time move, they wax and wane, but they are held on the breast of the one, safe, always safe. So that's what the temple indicates. And also, if you have money, share it with everyone. Don't save it in vaults. Because who knows, one day something may happen and somebody may loot it away. Share it with everyone. So this was tendency in olden times. That's how the priest and the kings became so much hand in glove with each other. It's time to change that old habit. Achema.